Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode, episode number 6 of Set the Sails, the podcast. My name is James Ludeman. I am your host. Good evening. I want to welcome you here. I'm going to bring on my co-host for the evening tonight. First thing I want to say right out of the gate is, of course, happy birthday to our host, James Britt Buck Wilson. He is out tonight celebrating his birthday in hopefully the best way possible, but I'm sure he'll be in the comments as well. Ruth the Truth, who also was supposed to join us, is also out tonight, so you know, taking some time that she needs. And just want to say this right out of the gate, that it has been a very emotional week. I won't lie to you, I'm coming to you tonight with not a lot of experience in my life with racism and with hatred for another person. But I wanted to say to you tonight, those of you that are watching and feel, you know, just as heartbroken as I do, most of you may not know this, I'm actually a pastor. And so I have a very sensitive heart as it is, and my heart breaks for you. But I want to say this officially, that here on Set the Sails, the podcast, we don't worry about ethnicity. We don't worry about who you are, where you come from. We are all one together here on this show. And so I wanted to say that to you today, that we love you. We don't like racism. We don't tolerate that stuff here. And so I just want you to know you are not alone. And we will use this platform to speak for those who don't have the same type of platform. So I wanted to say that right out of the gate, because I felt like it needed to be said today. We hope you enjoy the show. And joining me tonight is actually a very special guest. He is one of the hosts, the main host, but one of the hosts of the Sports Caffeine. Joining us live is L. Bushman himself. Sir, how are you doing this evening?
What's up, buddy? How's it going? Thanks for having me on. You help me co-host my show a lot and everything. You help us out with a lot of other stuff too. So thank you for having me on. It's been a long time coming. So
I agree. Too long.
I wouldn't say I'm also like the main host of Sports Caffeine. I'm one of the hosts. I just kind of kick things off for the shows once in a while. So, you know, that's all right. Good. So.
And of course, you can find Sports Caffeine on you know, all the social media places. Go ahead. Tell us where we can find you.
Yeah. Shameless plug. You can find us on Facebook at Sports Caffeine, and then also on Twitter at Sports Caffeine 1. Why the 1? Because somebody else took Sports Caffeine. So, you know, whatever. So, and then you can listen to us streaming live on fanstreamsports.com and also the app, and then Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, and all the other ones that we're streaming live from. So yeah, there's a lot of them.
Shameless plug. All right. And of course, you're listening to us live on Facebook on Bucks Life Media's Facebook page. So definitely check us out on there. We're also live on YouTube and Twitter and Twitch as well. So you can check us out in multiple places. Of course, our normal co-host, Britt Buck, has decided, where's the British guy? He's great.
I wonder how many pints he's in. How many pints has he kicked back so far for his birthday?
I don't even want to know, to be honest. I just don't want to know. Well, we're going to bring on our first guest right now. Mr. Ian Glendon is joining us from Full Press Coverage. Does a lot, apparently. Editor-in-chief, I guess, is probably all hail the editor-in-chief, Ian Glennon joining us live. Ian, how are we doing this evening, sir? Welcome to Set the Sails.
First off, thanks for having me. And if Twitter allowed more characters in your bio, I could probably fit everything. But I like editor-in-chief. No, I appreciate the compliments. And I just like to give myself titles. It actually looks really good on my resume, just in case the site ever, you know, fizzles out. But, you know, rest assured, I feel like it's here for the long haul. So.
Absolutely. Well, we definitely want to welcome you to the show. And of course, you know, we're a Buccaneers show, so let's go ahead and kick that off. Right. I want to talk about, first of all, we got to give a quick shout out to two guys on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who actually just got married over the past week. Ndamukong Suh just got married last week. And then, of course, well, he didn't get married, but he got engaged. Cameron Brate actually just got engaged.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, he put a ring on it. That's right. So congratulations to those guys. Well, let's kind of dive in here, talk a little bit about the season. Obviously, you know, we don't have to talk too much about Tom Brady. He's, you know, he's kind of his own guy. We know about him already. But tell me, maybe somebody in your opinion, either on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, maybe you're looking to have a standout year outside of, you know, the normal Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin type.
You know, I'll give you two answers, and one's kind of a little bit different take. And I'll say the defense as a whole, and not because I think they're going to stand out. I think people are actually going to finally see them, which we've already kind of seen already. We've seen it over the last couple of weeks. Is Levante David the most underrated linebacker in the league? Well, yeah. I mean, no one ever talks about him, and he's one of the best in the league. And now people, you know, with Brady down here and the media attention, people are going to see it. So I think people are going to realize how good the Bucs defense is and how good some of the players are. So I think that's one answer. But on offense, I'm going to go Tyler Johnson. I think it's going to be slow. I think it's going to be something that you're probably not going to see into the latter half of the season. But I think by the end of the year, I think a lot of people are going to know who he is. And I think, again, this is something that's not going to happen right off the cuff. I think Brady's going to, especially in the first couple weeks, be very Gronk dependent for a lot of reasons. Not so much that he's not going to be able to get along with the other receivers. It's just it's going to take some time to mix. And, you know, having a guy like Gronk there, that's a pretty nice security blanket. But over the course of the season, I think Tyler Johnson's really going to kind of form his niche in this offense. And I think by the end of the year, he's going to be the guy that everyone's going to be like, wait a minute, how can we cover him?
Gronk miss Tom.
Yes.
Gronk miss football. Ian, I got a question for you. I'm a very optimistic Bucs fan. Every season, my expectations always are very low with the Bucs, especially the past 5 years, you know, with Jameis at the helm. And now we have Tom Brady. We got Gronk. Mm-hmm. You know, everything seems to be aligning for the team. And, you know, looking on paper, the Bucs could make a run for the Super Bowl this year. Now, I say 11-5. I know James said 11-5 too when we spoke on the draft. You know, is there anything, maybe players that stand out that could be a weak link, or any areas on the team that could be a weak link that the Bucs really need to address coming into the 2020 season?
You know, I don't necessarily think weak link. I do think the secondary, the depth, obviously can be an issue or could be an issue, especially with the teams that they play, the quarterbacks that they play this season in particular. Even outside of the division, obviously you got Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, but Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, you know, there's several other on there. So, I think this is really just a good group of guys that really have that focus of wanting to win. There doesn't seem like there's a character that could, you know, because really sometimes it only takes one player to really kind of mess up the flow of everything. Tom Brady negates that. I mean, we've seen it with the Patriots for 20 years. I mean, who came in there and disrupted anything, you know, that, it, you know, lasted more than a week? You know, Antonio Brown, you can say, but those two were like best friends. So I don't think in that sense, he ruined anything in the locker room. But so to me, I don't think that there's any weak link in that sense. I do think that the depth is on defense is certainly the biggest issue. The starters are great, especially the front seven. Beyond that, I don't want to say, you know, sound the alarms, but, you know, there is concern. I mean, if one or two of those guys go down, then, you know, then you start, you know, kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. But, you know, that's certainly projecting the worst case scenario. But No, I think this team is well built, well positioned, and you have the right group of guys. You have an offense that several players, I don't think that they're going to fight for the ball. I don't think that they're going to sit there and say, no, I want the targets. That's obviously a thing. And when you play with Tom Brady, you know, even if you're Mike Evans, some days you're going to be pretty quiet in this offense. And that doesn't mean you're losing. That means you're probably winning. So, no, I like their makeup. I like the how this team is built. So I don't foresee any sort of issue like that.
Talking to Ian Glendon here from Full Press Coverage. You can always check them out on Twitter as well. They got a lot of really good stuff on there. So we'll give them a shameless plug here at the end of our time. But, you know, I would tend to agree with you. I think that there is a lot of and Jesus Torres watching on Facebook left a comment, says, you know, the only thing that worries me is that secondary. And I would agree with that to some degree. But I also think that this was a defense that toward the end of last year really started to gel, really started to improve. And so do you believe that's something that's going to continue to carry over, that consistency? Or do you think, because here's kind of my two-part question, obviously with the COVID-19 situation, there's a lot of things that have not been happening, not just offensively, but defensively to meet. You know, I know we heard from, you know, the oh my gosh, his name is blanking me now. Defensive coordinator this past week, his name is blanking me.
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles, thank you. Wow, just went away. But we
that's
heard
what, that's why Bowles, I'm here. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's why you're here. That's right. Todd Bowles, you know, came on last week and said, you know, it's hard to teach guys through Zoom how to play defense, and it's very, very true. And so, do you think that the consistency of the defense is going to be as good as we saw last year, or is there going to be still kind of a learning curve like we saw in the beginning of last season?
Well, I do think you bring up a good point in the fact that we're kind of going into this season blind because we don't know how the offseason's ultimately going to turn out. How, you know, and this is an important offseason. You know, obviously Brady's played for a while, but, you know, working with the offense as much as possible, that's going to be key. Watching some of these young guys like in the secondary develop is going to be key. Although I do think right off the bat, before they play a snap, the defense's job is going to be easier. And again, this might upset some folks that are Jameis Winston's fans. And this is nothing, you know, this is nothing.
Who?
To knock. Yeah. Who? Right. Yeah. Who dad?
Who dad?
No.
I mean, look, this is the thing. I mean, you're going from a guy that threw 30 interceptions to a guy that the last time he threw 14, I think it was in 2006 or, you know, back when, you know, the passing game in the NFL was far more difficult. So double digit interceptions was more of a regularity among quarterbacks. It's just right off the bat right there. You're talking about what, 20 something fewer possessions the defense has to be on the field, oftentimes immediately after they were on the field before. So right there, I think it's going to make the entire defense, especially the secondary, better. I do like what Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to bring to this group. I am going to kind of throw it out there that I did pick him in one of my several mock drafts, and I was really big on him. He was the only one I got right, so I'm always going to be an Antoine Winfield backer at this point. But seriously, though, I do think he's going to add a special element to that team that, you know, again, kind of like Tyler Johnson, I think by the end of the year, you're going to be like, oh, wow, this guy's really, you know, making a name for himself. And he's, you know, obviously a little bit more well-known. But, you know, end of the year, that's when you want to see these guys make big plays. And
just to confirm, you're not talking about Tyler Johnson from the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? You're talking about – no, I'm kidding. Yeah. Go ahead.
I had to think about it. I was like, wait a minute. I was just talking about hockey earlier. So
I heard he brought his hockey stick down to one buck play. So
that's right. That's right. Not the same person, everybody.
No. If I happen to start talking about breakouts and power play formations, just stop me and just – remind me that you know, we need
hockey back really bad. We need all sports back really bad. Every single one of them. Right,
we're getting
now.
There. We're getting closer and closer. So I think people are anxious and itching for it. So,
and I want to go to the offensive side of the ball. Now, okay. we all know Tom Brady's skill set. We all seen him up in New England and how he runs the offense. Now, this is a different team. I mean, he spent all of his time up in New England. This is a, I would say, a faster, bigger offense that he has. Are we going to see a little bit of what he brought down from New England, or is this going to be a brand new skill set of offensive schemes that we're going to see from Byron Leftwich, you know, BA, and also Tom Brady?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to Bruce Arians in particular, I think this is the first time in his entire career that he, you know, he kind of takes a back seat to his quarterback. You know, obviously you coached Peyton Manning, but that was early on in his career. Andrew Luck, obviously very early on, but still doesn't hold the same cachet as Tom Brady. You know, Bruce Arians, again, and I have all the faith in the world that he's going to do this. I think he's going to adapt, and I think he's going to take the input from Tom, because I think that bombing out deep play offense is great, and it makes for great highlights, but I don't personally think it's efficient football. And Tom is as great as it would for his stat sheet, and I'm sure he would, you know, in that sense, love it. He'd much rather, you know, throw to the open guy. And you know, a lot of people characterize that as nink and dunk and easy. Well, you know, it starts with making the right reads and the right decisions, you know, on the offensive line pre-snap, and finding the right guy and being able to identify who that guy is going to be as soon as the ball snap. And that's something Tom Brady does better than any quarterback in the league. And I contend that he still does better than any other quarterback currently. So you're going to see a mix of that. I think Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are going to, you know, just like Brady was with Belichick, they're very open about talking about the offense. Same with Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator up in New England, and the offensive coordinators that came before him. And he had a lot of input in the game plan, and I think he's going to have the same thing here. And look, I know there's a lot of people out there that think that his play has diminished because of age, and I can assure you it hasn't. I don't know how much you know about my background, but I'm from New England, so I've seen every single snap of this guy's career from the day that I was in high school and he took his first snap. So, you know, I've watched him play. I watched him a lot last year, obviously, and, you know, the guy is going to do a lot of great things with this team because of the talent around him. It's going to be fun to watch, and I anticipate. I'm with you. I'm very optimistic, cautiously optimistic, because again, there's no sure thing in the NFL. There never is.
Exactly.
2007 Patriots. I mean,
especially now with the all the media attention now in Tampa Bay, and the Super Bowl being in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Brady and Gronk on Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, all eyes are on the team now. And you know what? You know, can't go wrong with Dink and Dunk. Dink and Dunk's going to get you six championships, so you can't knock it.
Well, and here's the thing too. It's like there's no other quarterback you'd want leading your team to deal with that amount of pressure. Exactly. And that's something that we've seen over New England time and time again, where, like, it sounds like kind of corny and cliche. It's like, oh, it's angry Brady. You know, we see Skip Bayless do this, like, you know, caricature of it. I can't even say that word. I don't know why I tried, but anyways, he kind of looks like foolish out there, but it's kind of true. I mean, 2016, he got suspended. And again, we can, you know, maybe for another day or another topic or whatever, discuss the merits of Deflategate. I think there happened to be none, but you know, he got suspended for that. And he took the, you know, he took the suspension. He eventually decided at the time, you know, if he carried on any further, it would have possibly cost him playoff time, whatever. Took the suspension. He came back, and had it not been for the fact that he only played 12 games, he would have run away with the MVP. He was phenomenal in those 12 games. They go on, they win a Super Bowl, greatest comeback ever against the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, I think you got to throw that out there. It is a Bucs show. You got to take a little jab at the Falcons as many times as you can, But yeah, so I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of pressure. There's going to be a lot of cameras on this team. That's certainly something some of these guys that aren't used to it may struggle with. But the important thing is they're going to be able to look and see one guy, the quarterback, and know how to act. And that's kind of how it's worked in New England for years. And I don't think it's going to be too different. So,
yeah, and I actually think that that's something that, you know, to me, I think there is an interesting fact of having all the attention on you can either be a very good thing or it could be a very bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, I think you have two guys like Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski who have been here before, mm-hmm. who will be able to tell these guys, listen, now the attention is on us. Now it's time for us to go to the next level. And we're going to ask you here, as you know, here in just a little bit, about your way too early season predictions. So just be ready for that in the next little bit. But to me, you know, I look at this team right now and I see a quarterback who's hungry. He's not just hungry because he's, you know, a six-time champion and just wants to win two more before he retires. No, what I see is a guy who's hungry to prove Bill Belichick wrong. That's my biggest thing, is he wants to come to Tampa to take a franchise that has not been to the playoffs in many, many years and take them and completely turn this team around over the next 2 years. And I think if anybody can do it, it's him. And I know, just say, did you guys ever see Major League Two? Like, they get the really good catcher.
Such and, a terrible comes, Parkman.
Parkman. And so they get Parkman, and then Parkman goes to the White Sox, and Harry Doyle says, "You know, it's amazing what a uniform change will do for a guy, eh, Monty?" Like, that's how I feel about Tom Brady. Like, all the times that I was like, "Oh, Tom Brady's this, Tom Brady's that," you know, he's,
you know, Brady, I never call him, Brady never should call him a cheater. Brady should call Belichick up before the season goes. You know what? If I win the Super Bowl with these Buccaneers, you should be my caddy, just like Peyton Manning suggested on the match. That would be a great bet.
That was I had been saying, and I've said to other people that, like, you know, because again, we all know, we all see Bucs Twitter and everything like that. There's a pretty strong divide. There's a odd segment of fans that, you know, just are anticipating Brady failing, and this I don't understand it yet. But the way I say it is, give them about a quarter to two quarters, and I'm not talking about of the season, I'm talking about of the first game, perhaps even a series or two before they realize, oh crap, this guy is different. You know, I think a lot can be said about the simple breakdown of his game, and a lot of that goes on, especially on these national shows, and unfortunately those folks have the loudest voices, so you're going to get a lot of the same, you know, Nick Wright narratives, and you know, it is what it is, you can't combat it, but I think a lot of Bucs fans that may have their doubts will realize very quickly, they'll know right away that this is different. This isn't just a grab at an old time guy that's past his prime. No, this is a guy that can very realistically lead you to a Super Bowl.
I want to know that small sector that thinks this is a bad idea. I mean, this is a six-time you know, Super Bowl champion. Would you rather have Jameis for another year? I mean, we've tried that experiment before. You know, Tom Brady was available. I mean, he wanted to come here. He sold himself to Jason Light and to Bruce Arians. So it's like, okay, if you have a Super Bowl champion that you didn't even have to go after, he came after you. That tells me he's got that huge chip on his shoulder that says, I want to prove everybody wrong, not only Belichick, but also the national media. I can do this with another team and with another set of guys.
No, and James brought up a great point, just the motivation factor. And I know it's sometimes overstated with athletes. I mean, a lot of these words and superlatives are so overused that it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, we get it. But no, really. When you use these with this guy, this is what he does. He's 43 years old, or he's going to be 43 years old when the season starts. And he's still out there working on the nuances of the game, the way his hips move, how his foot, how his elbow tucks into his side, how it moves, all these little things that, you know, guys that, and yeah, exactly, in their 20s, the movement, don't want to do. You know, yeah, exactly.
Well, I can't do the hip thing.
Does he have the
chiropractor?
Does he have the bat too? The bat too? What Jameis was doing the other day?
I don't know about that. I don't.
That
was pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that one. Like I said, I covered some high school baseball, so I've seen a lot of weird concepts, but that was certainly a new one in the football world. But no, geez. Look, this guy lives and breathes football. Again, it's not a cliche. It's not hyperbole. I mean, it is what it is, and you guys made a great point. I mean, he chose to come here. He saw the situation here. He's not a dumb guy. He's not going to go somewhere that's going to put him in a bad situation. That's why for the longest time, when, you know, folks were trying to prognosticate where was he going to go? Oh, the Chargers. Oh, the Raiders. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I'm like, why would he go to those teams? That's setting himself up to fail just because what's around him. And then all of a sudden the Bucs started coming. I'm like, wait a minute.
And those that
actually does make a lot of sense. Because again, you talk about, and at the time, I mean, this is before you had Gronk and, you know, the draft and all that stuff. You know, at the time, you're looking at the weapons, you're like, wow, you got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. That's, you know, take it for what it's worth. But Pro Football Focus ranked both those guys over 90. The last time Tom Brady had that, 2007. So, you know, that's, I mean, again, the end result of that season was not great. But let me tell you, all 98% heading up to that was pretty awesome. So
Well, let me ask you this, because you bring up a very good point, and this kind of ties into the last question I have for you, and then I know Evan's going to ask one. But here's the thing. So let's say the Bucks go on this magical run. I'm not going to say they're going to go undefeated, because that's just unrealistic. Nah, yeah. There's just too many variables, not enough time, I think, together. I think a lot of that. And I'll tell you, when L. Bushman said, I think 11-5, that's about where I'm sitting, and I think that's a fair bet. But – what I will say is, let's say the Bucks go on this magical run, get all the way to the Super Bowl. Let's just say, for instance, if everything falls correctly and they lose, is that a failure to you, or is that more than enough for what they believe is going
to
happen?
I think, and this is another thing I kind of frame to people, I think it's an absolute win, because February, sitting at coming off a 7-9 season, what were the expectations if you got Jameis Winston back? You know, maybe 8-8, maybe 9-7, maybe you squeak into the playoffs. You know,
I'd say 6-10.
Now, exactly. Now Bucks Nation is talking Super Bowl or bust. And that's a incredible concept. And again, when people ask, like, you know, how much of an impact does this have? Well, you know, the Bucks have been around since 1976 and they have six Super Bowls. I kind of gave away my big point there, but they have six playoff wins. Tom Brady has six Super Bowl wins. So that right there should tell you exactly what he's going to do to this franchise and what he's already done. I mean, again, it's been what, three, I don't even know, what are we, June now? I have to change my calendar. It's June. It's been 3 months of just, I mean, 24/7 Bucks coverage. And it's like, when's the last time anyone saw that? It's certainly not in the social media world or era of coverage. So
even when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, it was still almost like a second fiddle to everything else that was going on in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Too. So it's just like, now it's the focal point, which is, it's crazy. And it's good for guys like us that talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because now we get to talk about them all the time. It's going to be focused on all the time.
And you're going to see it. NFL Network is going to lead off with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And again, you know, this is a guy who's played, you know, this is going to be his 21st season, but technically he's played 18 season. He didn't play in 2000, injured first quarter of the first game of 2008. So 18 full seasons. They've been to the Super Bowl. He's been to the Super Bowl 9 times. Every single year that he's been the starter, the team that he is on is a Super Bowl contender, not aspirations, not hopeful, but a contender. And I just don't see how that changes, especially when, you know, all you're doing is moving him to a team that on paper is, especially on offense, better than the one he left and better than the one that he won a Super Bowl with 2 years ago, which included Rob Gronkowski. So, yeah, I mean, look, again, I think a lot of people are going to actually have to see it to believe it. But I don't think it's going to take that long for them to sit there and be like, yep, you know, Tom Brady's a different type of guy. I take back everything I've ever said. If I've ever, you know, doubted him or called him, you know, just a system guy. No, he's a guy who can run many, many systems, because he's done it throughout his career. So,
and this is the question I've had in my mind. It's almost kind of like a question I shouldn't ask. Hopefully, you know, and hopefully nothing like this ever happens, knock on wood. In the event that Tom Brady does get injured, you know, we've got Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin III, who are the backups. Were you maybe a little surprised? And I wouldn't even say shocked. Were you a little surprised that, you know, the Bucs didn't go out and get more quarterback depth after they got Brady in free agency?
I don't want to say surprised, because I know after that, I mean, obviously you're working with a very limited budget, and they did have some more pressing needs to fill. You know, obviously, you know, again, knock on wood, he doesn't make it through the season, then again, the expectations are obviously going to change drastically. Because
I mean, you could have kept Jameis for $1 million bucks, or maybe less than that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Jameis would have been happy to come back walking into that locker room saying, "Oh no, I'll sit behind Tom Brady." You know, no, look, good for Jameis. I hope he does get an opportunity. I hope he does, you know, have a good career here on out. But look, you're in a better situation. And I got a lot of flack on Twitter for saying this, and a lot of people won't admit it, but I could argue that more than 2/3 of the league would be better, in a vacuum, would be better next year or this upcoming season with Tom Brady. That includes the Saints. Sorry, Saints fans. Green Bay Packers. Obviously, these are unrealistic situations. But my point being was this idea that Tom Brady is this like bottom third quarterback now, and that he's going to have no impact on the Buccaneers. It's ludicrous. And I can't wait to see the egg on their face. So that's my bitterness, my pettiness, I guess.
One question here before we get to our last question. This is from Jesus, who asked, hashtag, we use the hashtag Ask Ian. Do you believe that the running game will be back, especially with all the weapons on the receiving side? Want to see Jones and Vaughn explode?
Yeah, I think it is going to be back, but probably not in I don't want to say in the traditional, on the ground, hand the ball off. You're going to see a lot of these guys get utilized in the passing game, which, in New England for many years was essentially the running game. And that's designed runs. They're not dump offs. They're not bailout plays. They're just designed plays that are running back. And I think that's where Keyshawn Vaughn, another guy, I think late in the season, who's going to really start to make an impact on this team, is going to have a good run. I think Ronald Jones obviously is the guy you want leading the backfield to start the season, but you're going to see these guys utilized probably in formations that they were never really used to. I mean, and that's the thing too. We know Bruce Arians doesn't throw the running backs that often. That's something that will change. He's smart enough. He's not going to sit back and say, no, I'm not going to do something that Tom Brady really loves to do just because that's what I do. I don't do it. No, he's going to open up the playbook and he's going to say, hey, okay, let's get some of these designed runs in. Let's see what do the Patriots do? What does Tom like to do? And how can we, use these guys? And I think you're going to see a re-emphasis, but a new look to the running game.
I just think you give Tom the playbook, period. I think you just let him write it. I mean, seriously, a few years ago when – I'll never forget this. When the Saints won the Super Bowl, I think it was 2009, and they – one of the things that they talked to Sean Payton about – and listen, I'm not a Saints fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a ton of respect for Drew, and I have a ton of respect for Sean Payton. But I will say this. Sean Payton's thing is, at the beginning of the year in training camp, we sat down with Drew, and we said, okay, Drew, you got the playbook. You decide what we're going to do. You're going to be the captain of this playbook. And so I think it would be in their favor, and they've probably already begun to do this as it is. Yeah. But to give a guy like Tom Brady the playbook to say, okay, what's going to work for you here? What is it going to be this? And listen, he's going to go down the field. We know that. He's not – and as much flack as everybody gives him for being old, he's not bad at throwing the ball down the field. Like that's – he's – I think he's in like the top 10 in that category last year.
And he can actually get it – and he can actually get it to the receivers that he's throwing to too.
He doesn't throw it 15 yards over them.
Yes. And that's the thing. The important thing is Tom's not going to do something that is not, if he has a wide receiving core like he did last year, why are you going to throw deep? I mean, your most reliable receiver was Julian Edelman. You had Antonio Brown for 1 week, and that looked like the 2007 Patriots offense, and then all of a sudden he's gone. Josh Gordon's gone. Mohamed Sanu comes in. He gets injured. He has a high ankle sprain. Julian Edelman's got like one arm and a broken knee. It's just like, and people are like, why isn't he throwing deep? Well, because who's running?
Yeah, who's going to throw it to?
They started that season 8-0 too. That's what people forget. They were undefeated until they ran into just a better Ravens team. And then they get to the playoffs and then they just run into Derrick Henry who looked like he couldn't be stopped last year. And I love that pick. Man, I would love to have Derrick Henry here. But again, it's a situation where I think people are just so keen on the idea that he's this age and that he's staying for this amount of time. But you forget even years ago, a guy named Peyton Manning went to Denver after a major neck injury and brought them to two Super Bowls within his time there. So again, I mean, I can't just sit here and say, well, it's impossible. He's 43, so there's no way that this is going to happen. That's baloney. Anytime Tom Brady lines up under center, you got a chance to win that game. Can you say the same about Jameis Winston? No, you can't.
No. Well, because he hasn't done it, and there's nothing to show that he can. I mean, he puts up great numbers. That's awesome. And people are in the fantasy world are certainly fixated on that. But that again, that's not efficient football. It doesn't win games. And again, Tom Brady and I, we mentioned hockey before we got on the air, and I talk about Tuukka Rask a lot. And a lot of reason people get frustrated with him and think he isn't trying is because he's so mechanically efficient that he makes everything look so fluid and easy. So like, when he lets up a soft goal, it looks like he doesn't care. Well, no, he's just so good. And Tom's kind of the same way. He's just mechanically sound. So he doesn't do the Mahomes running out of the field, throw off the sidearm to him. That's bad football. Why would you do that? So to him, he'll sit there in the pocket, dissect you. And that's what he does great. And I think people, again, will sit there and say, oh, well, he's, such and such age, which they've literally been doing since he was 38. I mean, it's every year. It's like, oh, well, he's 38. Well, oh, now he's 39. Well, now he's 40. Now he's 41. Now he's 42. And it's just like, and I tell people, look, age is just a number. I think we can I think we can safely say that he has kind of broken down that wall of expected drop off. And you know, look, he's obviously not going to play forever, but I think you kind of give him the benefit of doubt and don't just, you know, kind of cop out and say, oh, because he's 43. You know, that's just kind of showing that you're kind of hopeful and you don't really watch him play. You just kind of, you know,
it shows you're salty. That's
yeah, pretty much.
I mean, salty. Like, that's all it shows to me.
Salty full of kale salads that Giselle makes me ever
see. Yeah.
So, Ian, before we get you out of here, let's just do a way too early prediction. What do you think the Bucks record could be?
And we record these so that way we can look back on them.
It's later okay. On, I've been wrong so many times on all the shows that I've done predicting records and everything. It's okay. I have no shame now, but I'm going to go and I'm going to one up you here just because this has been a pretty steady number in his career, not only on his jersey, but in his record win loss column. And it's 12-4. I think you can expect, you know, and this is something that's going to be a little bit different for Bucks fans to watch and, you know, when you lose games, it's football. You're going to lose games. You said, I mean, you're not going to go undefeated. I mean, the extent that the Patriots extended themselves to get to, you know, almost 19-0 was, I mean, it's so impossible to do. I don't even want to see the Bucks try and do that. But what you're going to see, or you're going to see learning losses, you know, losses where maybe, you know, you miss a couple plays here and there, but you can look back and be like, okay, well, this wasn't working, so we're going to adjust the next time we see them or the next time we play an opponent similar. Whereas, you know, maybe last year you're watching a kicker, you know, miss a field goal to lose your game. You're like, well, what the hell does that get us? Nothing but a one fewer win. And there's no lessons learned there. There's no evolving off of that. And there was a lot of losses like that. And I think now, you know, you're going to see a couple this year for sure. But they're going to be learning, and you're never going to be blown out. You're never going to be out of the game, and there's always going to be a chance to win it because, again, you got number 12 sitting back there, and
Sir Thomas Brady. Understand?
Yes, exactly. All hail, all hail him. I'll give up everything I have if I can just shake the guy's hand. No, I'm kind of kidding. I keep the platform so I can write about it afterwards. But you know, everything else I'll give up.
All right, well, Ian, we're going to let you go, but before we do that, go ahead and what you got going on, plug us. How can we find you? How can Bucks fans find your stuff? And we will give you the floor, my friend, for just a few moments.
Well, I'll give you the cliff notes because we could take up the rest of the 20 minutes with all this, but my personal Twitter, you can follow me. It's at IGLEN31. You can find all the Bucks work at FPC_Buccaneers, of course. Follow fullpresscoverage.com, and guys, we have an app out. It's great. I personally think it is. I'm a little biased, but you can listen to all of our podcasts, our live shows, read all of the content. Just search it on Apple and Google Play, and it's for free. And yeah, I think that'll sum it up pretty well.
All right, Ian. Well, thank you for joining us at the Salesman. Always a pleasure. We'll have to get you on during the season too, so we can figure out what the Bucks are doing right and wrong at this point, right?
Absolutely. Ian, you'll have to come on my show too now.
No, hey, shoot me a DM.
Don't be stealing my guests. No, that's not
look,
why
you're
here.
I have no shame. I will pimp myself out to whatever show is necessary. Because you know what? If I can get on camera and wear the logo of the site that I work for, it works for me. So
shameless plug.
We need shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we need a shirt here.
I don't have my FPC Buccaneers one yet. So I next time
I don't have one either. Maybe you should mail me one.
we'll talk off air. We'll put you on hold. We'll talk to the producer. All that. No. We'll talk. DM me. We'll get it all set up. Same with you guys. I'd love to come on and just talk Bucks. It'll be fun.
Awesome.
All right, Ian. Appreciate you, man. You have a good evening. All right.
Yeah. You too.
See ya, man. Ian's a good dude. I've talked to him. Him and I have talked on Twitter for the last several weeks. And
yeah.
Working and stuff and trying to get him on the show. He's fantastic, man. Really nice guy. And so I'm sure he'll be on your show too, you jerk. Trying to take people. Look at you.
Hey, you set him up. I'll knock him down afterwards. It's all good, man. Come on.
Well, I have something I want to tell you. And I was trying to get it, you know, on the actual thing here, but I'm going to have to cheaply do some fun animation. This is me out on the golf course today, which you can also see this on my Twitter page.
I saw that. What did you shoot today?
Yeah. So I actually, I just went to the driving range, but at this course that I went to, it's here locally, they have a practice par three.
Okay.
And so the practice is about one, I think it's about 110 to 115, somewhere in there from the blue marker where it's where I shot, shot a seven iron, was about, I don't know. I hit the most beautiful seven iron shot I think I've ever hit in my life today. So I actually tweeted out to JP Peterson and was like, dude, let's go. You ready? And he actually tweeted me back about a half hour ago, and he's like, let's set it up. So hopefully when I come down there.
You going to challenge him to a golf game? I don't know, man. He's kind of scary on the golf course. I don't know.
Dude, he's really good, too. And I'm like sitting here like, dude, I suck, and literally just hit one great shot. I felt like Tom Brady after that shot was done. Like I sat there, I'm like, wow, I really suck at golf. But I had one really good moment. That I just, you know.
Now, did you quit? Did you quit afterwards? Because if you had that one beautiful shot, you should have been like, "Okay, I'm done for the day. I'm done."
I should have. And here's the thing: I was on my way to the driving range before I did. I just literally got on a whim and was like, "You know what? I'll just shoot and see what I can hit here."
I can't stress how terrible at golf I am. Like, I'm so bad at golf. Like, I you know, I got clubs for my wife a couple of years ago for Christmas, and I've used them. I'm just never out enough to go practice. Now, when I go to Topgolf, you know, I can hit the ball pretty good, but when I get out on an actual course, it's like a nightmare. That's why when I'm in a, you know, with my three other friends, like, you know, it's how many beers can it take me to make it seem like I'm good at golf, or how many is it going to make it seem where I'm really, really bad at golf? So I've actually kind of started to love the game of golf because, you know, it's an individual sport, and you really have to kind of test how you are as a player, and you have to really get great at it. So I've started to like the golf. I thought golf was kind of a goofy sport growing up because I played, you know, baseball and soccer and competitive sports like that. But golf always
it was the goofy pants.
Yeah, you know, just like Happy Gilmore says, you know, a bunch of guys with goofy pants on. I don't think so. So yeah, I have a new respect for the guys that play golf now. And plus, they make a ton of money, man. So you can't knock golf.
That's true. So let me ask this: we did a poll on our Twitter, and again, this was kind of an interesting poll. And I won't lie to you, Bushman. When I did this poll, I did this from a standpoint of a complete anger.
Okay.
When I did this poll, okay?
Never do a poll when you're angry.
Well, and I did. And it actually, we actually had 356 votes on this poll.
Okay.
And I was very impressed by this.
And you should poll more angry more often then.
Apparently. Now, this was not a Bucks question, but I was just so tired of arguing with people.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I am so sick of arguing with Bucks fans about Jameis Winston. I'm done.
So
like, it is so aggravating to me. So this is what I posted. I said, here's the poll for the weekend. I want you all to answer in all caps, realistically, and not with your feelings. So I will ask you, do Saints fans believe that Jameis Winston is the future for New Orleans, or is it Taysom Hill? And we actually, and I'll tell you the results of that, because the results actually kind of surprised me a little bit.
Was it neck and neck? Because I know I actually
it was.
Clicked on Taysom Hill, and when I clicked on Taysom Hill, it was really close. Like Hill was a little bit, you know, over Jameis for a little bit, but it was really, really close. So what
was
happening? What were the results? Did Taysom Hill end up kind of squeaking it out, or?
So the final vote was, because there were three categories: Jameis, Taysom, or someone else. And actually, someone else actually got some votes, which I didn't think they were going to get anything. But this was the final. So Taysom Hill won at 43%. Jameis was right behind him at 42% out of 356 votes, and then rounding it out was someone else at 15%. So first of all, thank you to all of those who voted. I know most of those were Saints fans. You know, whatever, Saints suck. But still, thank you all for voting. But I'm just saying, long term, I'll ask you, because I know you clicked on Taysom Hill, but I just want you to explain, because listen, I know that Jameis Winston, and I see Jay in the comments. Jameis is way better than Hill.
Yeah,
looking at it, I see that.
Also, our newly wedded Byron Richmond also said Jameis is better than Taysom
Hill. Yeah, congrats on your marriage.
So, you know, I look at it as, if we're looking in the long-term situation, it's still up in the air, because we already know, the league has already know, fans have already know what kind of quarterback Jameis is after 5 years of being the Bucks. Now, and a long-term perspective, if you want to say, okay, maybe in a new uniform, new system, new coach, learning from Drew Brees, could help him out. You know, that's time will tell. We don't know, because as of right now, Drew Brees is the starting quarterback for the Saints. And from what we've heard from Sean Payton and everybody else, Taysom Hill is, you know, the apparent heir to the throne for Drew Brees, and he's going to have more playing time this year, no matter what kind of schemes they bring up, if it's going to be a two quarterback set or whatever. So, you know, I look at each of those guys' skill sets very differently, because Taysom Hill is like a utility knife, man. He's like a Swiss Army knife. You can plug in any part of the offense. You can put him on defense. You can put him on special teams. You can put him wherever. Jameis is, to me, he's a one-trick pony. Now, is his LASIK going to make him a better quarterback? We don't know. Yeah. So these are all what ifs. I mean, we could say you could maybe revisit this poll like a year from now or 2 years from now, when Jameis is maybe starting over Taysom. Is he still going to be with the Saints? Because he only signed a year deal with the Saints. So right. How much playing time is Winston really going to have, you know, above Taysom Hill? We don't know. So I want to say, I'm saying Hill for right now, because I've seen a lot of Hill. We've seen a sample size, and you know, a sample size is really kind of a small size when it comes to judging a quarterback over another quarterback. I think when it comes to smarter decisions, Hill takes the cake. I think he's better built. And these two guys are two different styles of quarterback too. I mean, Jameis is a gunslinger. I think Hill is a way better game manager than he is too as well. I think this question is just still up in the air of who is better, because now since Jameis is on the same team and he's going to be learning a brand new playbook, it's going to be, okay, let's revisit this a year from now and see who's the better quarterback, or see who's actually in the driver's seat to take over that heir to the throne from when Drew Brees is going to retire. And we don't know when Drew Brees is going to retire. I mean, he says, I can play for another 2 years. I mean, he does have a nice spot. I think he's going to be telecasting for NBC when he gets off, or when he retires. So, you know, it's all time will tell when Drew Brees says, okay, I'm done. Now you can decide on who to take. Is it going to be Winston or Hill? Even if Winston signs another extension with the Saints after this year. So I think this all depends on if Winston can really show Sean Payton and the Saints that I am something different than what you saw in Tampa Bay. So,
all right. Well, fans, we are still plugging along here. Still got a little bit left in the show. So
I've got something for you, and I've got something for everybody in the chat right now. So this was posted up about 3 days ago on Twitter, and I'm not going to call out the guy who did it, because he's kind of a weirdo. He's kind of a dick, but, and whoa. maybe you guys know him. Well, we kind of got into a Twitter argument back and forth and everything. So he put up the top 15 NFL quarterbacks. And if you guys probably know who he is, then you know who he is. He put the top NFL quarterbacks and he listed them from 1 to 15. One of Patrick Mahomes. We all know this. No, number one, two, Russell Wilson, three, Drew Brees, four, Jameis Winston. Five.
Oh, I already know who it was based on that list.
Okay. Five Lamar Jackson, six Aaron Rodgers, seven Matthew Stafford, eight Carson Wentz, nine Deshaun Watson, 10 Matt Ryan, 11 Kirk Cousins, 12 Ryan Tannehill, 13 Thomas Brady, 14 Dak Prescott, and 15 Big Ben. So
you got to be kidding me. Brady over Wentz.
So I want to get your opinion. Now I know you saw this, and I think you commented on it too. When you first saw this, and when you saw Winston at number four over a ton of guys that are way better than Winston, what was your first, you know, spark of thought that came into your mind when you saw that?
Stupid. Okay, I mean, seriously, that's all I could say. I was like, this is the stupidest thing. I mean, come on. Look, don't get me wrong. Oh my gosh. And our special guest has on a Jameis jersey. I love it. we have a special guest waiting. So
just let's bring him on.
I'm going to answer this question first, and then I'm going to bring him on. Okay. So real quick. This is actually a Bushman. You may not know this, but this is actually the basis of where this poll came from. So okay. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
It's because of this person's who I will not name because they don't need that, that I started that poll, and it ended up going where it went. But listen, to tell me that Jameis Winston is the fourth or fifth or 10th or 15th best quarterback in the league right now, I could maybe see him as a top 10. Maybe. But that's a stretch. You're telling me that Jameis Winston, where was Brady? 13?
You said he was 13. Yeah, his way down.
You mean to tell me that Tom Brady is 9 points less than Jameis? You're wrong. That is way wrong. And listen, I know it's because of their Jameis Winston love, and I get it, but it's just because, you know, you can line up any statistic you want, and you could throw stats at me all day. But I have watched as a season ticket holder, I have watched every throw from Jameis Winston. He doesn't have it. I'm sorry. You may not like that. You may not understand that. You may never agree with me. And listen, I've said not on this show, but on Brit Buck's show, which you can catch during the season, also on Bucks Live Media, shameless plug for him. I have said that if Jameis Winston starts on a team and wins a playoff game, I will jump in the first frozen river I could find. Because, and you know why I'm so confident in that? Because it's not going to happen. It's not. You guys are so excited about Jameis, but it's not going to happen.
I look at it this way, too, is we're still talking about Jameis, and he's now exited the team. And also, too, that there's been a lot more love and acceptance for Jameis Winston now that he's off the team, where all these Jameis lovers are now coming out of the woodwork. Oh, we should have given him a chance. We should have given him that 6 years. It's like, where were you guys at last year? Or where were you guys at the year before last when he wasn't doing so well? It's funny how when people go away, the love starts to come out. So I just thought that was funny.
Well, joining us now, and we'll ask him, I guess, what he thinks about this. Joining us now, one of the Bucks super fans, I would call him. Animal is on with us. Animal, how are you feeling?
I am doing good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly, sir. Clear. You are on.
Hello, Mr. Bushman. Always your pleasure to see me, as usual. Let me send a special shout out to Mr. James Britt and a very special happy birthday to him. And sorry he couldn't join us for tonight. But I have to take issue with you. Okay, James?
Because you got a Jameis jersey on. I know.
No. Here's the thing about Jameis, okay? Jameis has it. The problem is Jameis doesn't know that he has it. There are times where I've seen Jameis Winston. I've seen him for 5 years, just like you have. And there are times where this guy has been just so fantastic. It's unbelievable. Then there are moments when they'll do the El Bushman thing and say, what the hell did you just do? You know? I mean, it just frustrates the heck out of me. And I gotta honestly believe that the reason why Jameis is the way that he's become is because nobody has ever taught him properly how to play the game. Look at all the coaches that he's served under. Now you tell me who has been a great teacher for him. Think about that for just a minute. And I think that a guy like Tom Brady, if they had let Jameis come back on the team as a backup, I guarantee you that Jameis would have learned a lot more in one season being under Tom Brady than he would have been 5 years as a starting quarterback. I don't think Jameis has had the proper tutoring that he needs. And I think Jameis has it. I just don't think he realizes that he has it. I don't think he realizes that he has the potential that he can become a great quarterback if he starts using his head and not his heart, if that makes any sense.
Let me tell you why I disagree with you. Let me tell you why I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because, and I respect you as a fan because I know how long you've been a fan of this team, and I know you've watched.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
I respect you, Animal, and I know, but I'll disagree with you because look what happened. Lovie Smith is the one who drafted him. Who was the offensive coordinator? Dirk Cutter. So Dirk Cutter comes in after Lovie loses his job, and Jameis praises Dirk Cutter, saying he has been a great teacher for me. He has been a leader for me. He has been the offensive coordinator. He brought Jameis to a hair or so within the playoffs in his first season as head coach of this team. And then what happened? Dirk Cutter got fired. And then Jameis came in with Bruce Arians, and you could just tell that the relationship has not worked out. So I will agree with you in one regard, saying that he's not had consistency at coaching to allow him to develop. However, where I disagree with you is that he had an opportunity with Dirk Cutter, and he's the same player he was from day one. Yes, he made great plays. Yes, he threw for over 5,000 yards last season. Yes, he threw for over 30 touchdowns last season. He still threw.
But he also had 30 interceptions.
And I'm not even going to bring that up because, again, it.
Well, you have to. But
that point is just so beat down, though, is that what I'm saying is he's had all of these great numbers, but he's the same exact player he was not only as a rookie, but as a college quarterback at Florida State. He's the same player.
I'm glad that you brought that up, James, about Florida State too. And I was just about to bring that up. You know, I've been a fan of James since Florida State because I'm a huge FSU Seminole fan. And but watching him in college and then the transition into the pros, it's the same mistakes he made in college that he made in the pros. I mean, the same interceptions that he threw in college. I mean, the same. And, you know, and I try not to beat on Jameis Winston so much because Jameis Winston, when being in his tenure with the Bucs, he tried to do too much with what little he had, especially with an offensive line. But the too much is too much when you're throwing picks all over the place. You're losing the ball and getting knocked out of your hand. There's times where you can just throw it out of bounds, or you can slide, or you can take the hit. Yeah. You don't have to make something happen. And I just see that from he didn't learn from that transition. Now, I know he's had so many coaching changes and everything in the pros, but you're now an NFL pro. You should be able to adapt with the different systems that you have. Granted, you're going to have a different coach every year or every 2 years. You need to adapt to it. If you're an NFL pro quarterback now, you need to adapt to the new systems and cut down on the interceptions and all the mistakes.
You hit the key point, adapt. Being able to adapt to the new changes with these new coaches. You're right about that.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. His inability to adapt and be able to make the changes that need to be made. You're right about that. Okay. I go back to what I say is that a lot of this has to do with not having the proper teaching. Now, when I say proper teaching, I don't mean so much as an offensive coordinator or a new head coach. I'm talking about the guy that's behind you. I'm talking about your backup quarterback. How experienced is he? What good advice can he give him on the sidelines? Because a lot of times, these guys will not listen to the coaches. They get better. I think a lot of times most starting quarterbacks get better information through their backup quarterbacks because they understand what's going on an on-field level. And I think for Jameis, I don't think he had a proper backup quarterback that could feed him the good information. I'm not going to make any excuses for James. He dug his own grave. He's gone and what have you. I would disagree with, like, I'll go back to what I said about James, to what James said about James, that he doesn't. I think he has it. I just don't think James knows that he has it. Just like we know that Florida State has it, I just don't think they know they have it. They probably know well, but that's another story altogether.
Jesus Torres put a nice little comment in the comments. He said, Mariota had a different OC every year and still took the Titans to the playoffs. So
yeah.
I look at it as, you know, the Winston factor. I mean, I kind of agree with you, Animal, about maybe Winston doesn't know he has it. I think he does. I think he does know he has it. I think he just – the execution.
He doesn't know how to do it.
I wouldn't say not know how to do it. I just think the execution is just not there enough where he's at the level to be in the elite quarterback question. Now, let's just say if he cut those interceptions in half from last year and all the mistakes that he made throughout his whole 5-year tenure with the Buccaneers, he would still be the Buccaneers quarterback today. He definitely would. But when you see the same mistakes over and over year after year, and when you say, okay, is he going to make a progression this year? No, it's a regression. Now, you can throw 5,000 yards all day and 30 plus touchdowns, but when you're throwing 30 INTs, and I know you didn't want to get into that, James, but when you're throwing 30 interceptions, it's like enough is enough. We might have to move on to somebody else that can maybe get us to the promised land.
Let me ask you this. How many winning seasons did he have? One. How many playoffs? Zero.
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 And that's it. The NFL is a this is a performance-based league. Yeah. That is what the NFL has been and will always be. This is a performance-based league. You can put up 10,000 yards in a season, but if you're losing games because of your interceptions and because of your it's not even the fact that he is because it baffles me. Like, look, I don't cuss.
I'm gonna tell you this right now.
I'm a pastor. I'll tell you this right now. But I watched a video the other day, and I would encourage you all to go online and YouTube. And I'm trying to think of the name of it exactly, but it was about a half hour documentary of Jameis Winston, and he said a quote that I will never forget as long as I live. And it said this: with Jameis Winston, you ask the same question twice. How in the hell did he do that? Or how in the hell did he do that? The same question both times. And so until he can get out of how did you do that and continue to be like, okay, he's making consistent plays. That's where I fault Jameis. He's an inconsistent quarterback. That's my problem.
I think that that's a very valid point. I mean, you're right. He is inconsistent.
You have to look at also this too. I mean, 5 years is usually a long time to be an NFL quarterback, especially if you're making mistakes after mistakes year after year. Like, he could have been canned year two or year three, because there's a lot of rumblings in his second or third year where they're like, okay, are they going to make a switch at quarterback? Are they going to get rid of Jameis? But he lasted 5 years. And when you're in the NFL and you're making mistakes like that, that's 5 years almost too long for some quarterbacks that are making the type of mistakes that he's doing. Now, of course, we've seen flashes of greatness from Jameis. And there's times where oh my God, Jameis he's right there. He's right where he can just turn the corner and be a great quarterback for this team. And then the week after that, it just goes all downhill from there. So it's, I wouldn't say 5 years is too long, but 5 years is enough for especially the fan base and especially for the team where, look, we got to move on to somebody that's going to maybe take us to the playoffs. And, Tom Brady has fallen into our laps, and that's a great thing. I wish nothing but the best for Jameis Winston. Do I think he might have a shot of taking over the starting job in New Orleans? Maybe. We don't know. Hopefully his eyes are crystal clear now. He can see down the field and throw it to the right receivers that he's throwing to. So we'll see. I mean, we're going to see over time if that's going to actually happen.
I think, Bushman, that one of the things that's going to help him is to change your scenery.
Yeah.
I think the Bucs were right in letting Jameis go. Okay. I kind of wish that they would have, kept him another year, let him learn from the best in the business and Tom Brady. I think would have been a big help to him. But by the same token, I think him leaving probably is going to be the best thing for him to get to a new team, new scenery.
And he's still a young guy in the league. I mean, mid 20s. Yeah. He's not even up there in the upper echelons. He's 25, as Jay points out. So he still has a ton of time to show everybody that he can be the quarterback that the Bucs thought he was going to be when they drafted him number one from Florida State.
Oh, definitely.
Look at this. Jameis is elite if you disregard the interceptions. But the problem is the interceptions happen. You cannot be endless. And I know that – and this is what brought me to that poll, too. This was the second part of that. Everybody wants to compare – Jameis Winston to Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. No, you can't. They're two completely different quarterbacks. And even if you look at Peyton Manning, yes, the stats in the beginning of their careers are a little bit similar. I'll give you that. But look at what happened with Peyton. Interceptions went down, wins went up. His yards kind of fluctuated as well. But at the same time, he figured out the problem and he changed it. Jameis has not figured out the problem and changed it.
No, and I think that's a valid point. I mean, I hope him going to New Orleans. Really hope I want Jameis to be successful. There's no question about it. And I think him going to New Orleans is going to be the best thing for him. I mean, I'll go back to what I said. I think Jameis has it. I just. And let me I'm not trying to be nitpicky with the interceptions. Interceptions are interceptions. But what percentage of those were tip balls? What percentages of those were receivers running wrong routes? What percentage of those were clear, utter stupidity throws? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and try and nitpick every interception that James Winston had in his career, because some of them were obviously never should have happened. Others are just completely stupid, you know. But you know,
I think somebody brought up the point earlier, Animal, that if he threw 15 less interceptions, he'd still be a Buccaneer. I would agree with that.
I would agree with that.
Definitely. I would agree with that. I would agree with that too. I just don't know if we would see Tom Brady here. You know.
Yeah.
I think everything's worked out great for them. If you think about it just a minute.
No, trust me, I definitely agree. Everything's kind of falling around. The stars have aligned.
I think what the Bucks have in mind is this. I think what they want to do is, you know, use Tom Brady for a couple of years and transition into a new quarterback. They have their eye on somebody right now. I know that someone in the back of my mind, and yes, L, I do have one. Someone in the back of my mind, I'm getting this thought in my head that, you know, they have somebody in mind for long term down the road. Why not bring a transitional guy like Tom Brady? Let's help develop to have a couple of winning seasons in Ray J, if there's going to be deep football in stadiums and such. And then once we can build up that fan base, then we can start transitionally into a new quarterback. So I'm kind of thinking that for the Tom Brady deal, I think he's a two-year transitional quarterback, so to speak. I think that they have somebody in mind, whether it be through free agency or whether they're looking at somebody in next year's draft. I have no idea, but
Deshaun Watson. No, I'm kidding. No, dude, that would be awesome.
With Bill O'Brien's track record with trades, you never know.
I love Deshaun Watson.
I do too.
When I saw him play at Clemson, I thought this guy was just amazing. And Trevor Lawrence. I love the kid. I love the way he played. You know me, for as long as you know me, James, you know, you see this shirt behind me. You know, number one, Florida Gator, true blue, tried it true. Okay. but I love Clemson. I love the quarterback. I love Dabo Sweeney. I love the way he does things, you know. And, you know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence would be great for this organization. I don't know.
There's no way they'll be able to get him. No way.
No, because we're winning. We're going to the playoffs. There ain't no way we're tanking this year.
And I think that's one of the reasons why they brought Tom Brady in to win games, get themselves into a playoff, break this jinx, and then slowly but surely starting looking into a new era. Who they want to look at.
So, Animal, we're gonna we only got a few more minutes left in the show, and I don't think we asked you this the last time you were here. So I'm gonna ask you because again, we're getting everybody on video saying they're way too early season prediction. So, Animal, what is your way too early season prediction, my friend?
You want my way too early season prediction?
And you better not say 16-0, sir. Oh, he's looking at me.
I am going to do one better than that. I'm going to leave your crowd in suspense because you know why? Because I'm going to be a guest of yours on the 15th, as you will know. So you know what? I'm going to hold off on my selection until the 15th.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
no.
Why not? Yeah.
Well, okay, so instead of your early season prediction then here's what I want you to do. You have been a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for over 40 years, correct?
Right.
So why don't you tell me this? Tell me your all-time favorite Buccaneer memory on the field. We'll do on the field. I know you got plenty of off-the-field stuff too, but your favorite Buccaneer moment of all time to close us out today.
I tell you what, as a Buccaneer fan, you live, breathe, and die Bucs football, okay? And obviously, the number one memory for me would be the Bucs winning the Super Bowl. But let me tell you this story. I think it's one of my all-time favorite memories. I had the opportunity one year to take a trip down to Miami back, I think it was in 1984, 85. And I have relatives down there, so I spent the weekend down there. So I went to the Orange Bowl when the Dolphins were playing the Buccaneers. I was in my orange jersey with animal on it. I was getting thrown out with so many hot dogs and hamburgers. I felt like I was in Doak Campbell Stadium watching the Seminoles in my Gator jersey and what have you. So it's kind of a horrible thing. But here's what I remember about that game. The Bucs were down by 10 points. They came back and took the lead on a field goal by Billy Kapisa, I think it was, with 2 minutes to go. And Dan Marino leads his Miami Dolphins down the field. And I get everybody yelling at me. I'm thinking, hey, the game's over, no problem. All of a sudden, he hits Mark Clayton for like a 40-yard catch down the field. And Miami wins it on the last second. I mean, that's probably the most I know it's a loss, but it's a memory that sticks with me as a Buccaneer fan. So, I mean, that's one of the more memorable moments as a Buccaneer fan. So,
all right. Well, Animal, as he said just a few minutes ago, Animal is actually going to join us, not just with him, by the way. It is going to be a super fan show. We are actually also going to have at the same time Big Nasty on with us as well.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You mean the one and only Big Nasty?
That's right. You both are going to be on at the same exact time on the 15th.
The same Big Nasty, right?
Yes, the one who actually went into and had surgery today as well. So our thoughts are prayers are with him as well.
Yeah, of course. You have thoughts and prayers with him. I don't know what's going on, but you have thoughts and prayers with him. Mr. Bushman, you're relatively new. I haven't seen you before. Can you tell me a little bit? Because I see you got a mic there, so I assume.
So I have a show called Sports Caffeine. We used to be. There's another show. We used to have a show called The Sports Arena, but now we're Sports Caffeine.
So
we're now called Sports Caffeine, which we partner up with Bucks Life Media all the time. I mean, we love working with you guys over there and everything. So you can find us on FanStreamSports.com, which is JP Peterson's network. We're all over Spotify. We're all over Facebook. So yeah, just check us out, man. I think you'll love our show. If you love James's show, you gotta love our show. So
well, I'm gonna tell you what. Just if since you're doing a plug, let me do my plug here because every football season, I do my own special thing during the season, starting in either August or September. I call the Animals Football Insider. Okay, and. I've been doing it for 2 years now. This will be my third year. I would love to get you on sometime. I want to get James on sometime.
Love to do it.
It's going to be on a Thursday night. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. So it's going to be around 7 Central, something like that. So if y'all can join me to talk Bucks, and maybe James will hit on the Gators a little bit. Because that's mainly what I'm about. So but
just let me know when. I'm more than welcome to come on.
I would love to have you on, and I promise you, I'll put the $30 check in the mail for you.
Just don't have any other guests on, or he'll try to get them on Sports Caffeine.
I'm having a hard time trying to get guests myself. So hopefully I can get some people to come on. Hopefully they don't charge me a lot for it.
All right, well, Animal, thank you for joining us tonight. And hey, man, we appreciate you. You stay safe out there, and we will see you on June 15th.
Yeah, and we got some stuff going here in Des Moines as well. So you guys, I know some things are happening there in Tampa as well. So you guys stay safe, okay?
Thanks,
Animal. All right, Animal. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, right, James, before we close it out, I mean, are we closing it out or we got a couple minutes?
We got a couple more minutes. Yeah, what's
so up? So I know he brought up, free agents that the Bucs could possibly go after when Brady has left the Buccaneers. And I put 3 years out because you never know. 2 years, no, I think Brady's
got five more years.
Five? I'm going to go in between. I'm going to go three. So I went to the 2023 free agent tracker for quarterbacks. So on the list right now, I would say the top names, if you want to call them top. Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, if Alex Smith ever comes back and plays, Teddy Bridgewater, and then the last one on the list that would, well, I would say, you know, Kyler Murray's on the list too, and then Baker Mayfield, and then Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, and Case Keenum, and then just kind of goes down. And Lamar Jackson is also on that list too.
Ooh, Kyler Murray would be an interesting one. I think I know too. He didn't have a great year last year with Arizona. It was kind of a difficult, you know, because we kind of hope to see that that kind of Lamar Jackson type of season with him. But I still think Arizona has a lot of things that they need to sort out offensively. Yeah.
I have Arizona for me as one of those surprise teams that's going to come out of nowhere. I mean, they've, to me, they knocked it out of the park with their draft. And then bring in DeAndre Hopkins, which gives Kyler Murray another weapon to throw to besides Christian Kirk and then Larry Fitzgerald. You do have a running back in Kenyon Drake now. And then just the knockout that their draft was, you got a human like specimen in their number four pick, where I think his from Clemson.
Jay says he'd take Alex Smith. And here's the thing, Alex Smith 3 years from now is 39.
Yeah.
So I mean, is that, I don't know. Even with that injury, I honestly don't know if we'll see him again.
To me, if the Bucks were gonna, you know, make a change when Tom Brady says, you know what, I'm done, I'm gonna hang up the cleats and the helmet, I would like to see them get a quarterback in the draft they can mold into a franchise guy instead of going out and just relying on free agency over and over and over. Because, you know, and listen, this is kind of a change for us too, because we went out and got Tom Brady in free agency. We haven't done that in a long time. So I would like them to go in the draft in a couple of years. Obviously, we're not going to get Trevor Lawrence unless somehow some freak accident happens and the Bucks tank, but it's not going to happen. So I would love to see them go and get a franchise guy they can mold, because now you can sit him behind Tom Brady and Tom Brady can use his vast knowledge of how to play the game. And that would be great for the Bucks, because it would be an easy transition. Because once Tom Brady says adieu, then you can have the next guy up that's going to take over, because Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin III ain't going to happen. They're not going to take over. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to lead the Bucks to the promised land.
Wendy Warrior is watching us on Twitter, and she says, I think Mariota could be a potential option. That would be interesting, though, to have Marcus Mariota as your backup behind Tom Brady for 2 years.
He's competing for the job in Las Vegas with Derek Carr. So we might even, Derek Carr's an option,
dude,
too.
Dude, Derek Carr would be. And listen, Derek Carr is a great quarterback. I don't know why people give this guy so much of a hard time, but he just doesn't. It seems like he just doesn't fit into John Gruden's system. That's what it seems like to me.
James, no quarterback fits in
John, I know, that's system. Not no even Brad Johnson fit into his system. I want you to run Zebra X 30 looky right-handed toss. It's simple.
If Gruden had his way, he would turn back time where he could go play quarterback for his own team in Las Vegas right now. So no. Derek Carr would be an interesting option, but you know, who we don't know what's gonna happen with the whole free agency thing down the line if Brady stays. You know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, we don't know. So time will tell.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Let's jump out here. Let's see what else is going on. Alex Smith, is he coming back this year or is he a free agent?
He is, I believe, still under contract with the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, he's still under contract.
I didn't get to check. I didn't get to see that documentary they had about his rehabilitation. I don't even know if he's coming back this year at all. So if he is still under contract with Washington. But Washington has said Dwayne Haskins is the guy. They are going to roll with him. So, you know, Alex, with an injury like that, where it almost killed you, where you had, there were two options for Alex Smith was, well, lob off the leg or you could die. But then, you know, Frank, you know, luckily his leg was saved and his life was saved too. But it's like, you know, are you really going to move forward with playing football again? Or are you going to maybe take your millions and, you know, be with your family and stuff like that. So we don't know. I mean, Alex Smith could come back and be a great quarterback. I mean, Alex Smith is a great quarterback. I mean, he was great in San Francisco. It was great in Kansas City, and he was, you know, pretty good in Washington before he went down for the injury. So he's a game manager type of quarterback. He's not flashy. Z banana white.
Z banana white strawberry yellow cake 5-6 Y. Why? So, and he yelled the last one too every time.
So Alex Smith, you know, I hope he goes and retires and takes his millions away, because, you know, Washington's kind of moved on with Dwayne Haskins. And that's why they drafted him to take over that mantle. And we'll see if Ron Rivera wants to stick with Dwayne Haskins after this year too. So
let me ask you this interesting question as we close out. And this is kind of sort of Bucks related, but not really. Sure. Because here's the thing. At the beginning of last year, I never thought Tom Brady would be a Buccaneer.
Nobody.
Like, if you were, and I don't think anyone did. But did you – it's still taking me some time to get used to the coaching changes. Like, I never in a million years thought that who's the Cowboys?
Mike McCarthy.
I never thought I'd see him with Jerry Jones.
It's
crazy.
It's strange how, and I hope this season we actually have a season because, you know, the moves teams have made with new coaches, new players on different teams, it's exciting to watch because now it's something new, man. We get to see Mike McCarthy be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and they still don't know if they're going to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal. We got DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. Arizona is primed to break out. You know, the Bucs have Tom Brady and Gronkowski as two new weapons on their team now. That's why I love the NFL offseason, because so many cool things can happen where it's going to set your team up for the next couple of years and make a playoff run, or it's going to make your team just crash and burn. So yeah, man, I love the newness of what the league's going to look like this year.
And I think the cool part too, and this was my other prediction. Are you ready for this one? I don't think you're going to buy into this prediction.
Please do.
So here we go. So prediction for the Buccaneers: Bruce Arians wins a Super Bowl before he retires. And you know who becomes the next head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Tom Brady.
Mike Tomlin.
See, I wouldn't count that out. I actually like that because I said that before bringing in BA, the year before, you know, the year they were bringing in, and, you know, Dirk Cutter was on his way out. Uh-huh. I said Mike McCarthy would be a great, Mike Tomlin would be a great replacement because, you know, the Steelers were getting kind of upset with Mike Tomlin. There were some rumblings in Pittsburgh where he might be out. And I said Mike Tomlin would come in and be a fantastic head coach for this team because he would turn the culture around. I mean, and this is still when we had Jameis. I mean, he would turn Jameis around too. So for you to say Mike Tomlin would be a great fill-in to take over head coaching duties, I say A+. I say yes. I give me Mike Tomlin as a replacement for BA.
Jay hit it. Did Tomlin dip on us once? Yes. If you remember during the Super Bowl season, Tomlin was the linebacker coach.
He was, yeah.
So, again, it's not like he doesn't have roots here, but that was a different set of circumstances, obviously, with that. So, let's see. James Lubin's. Oh, Scott Bradford's with us. You get the stuff I sent, Scott? No, I haven't. Not yet. I'm still entertaining baby things behind
Scott, me. So. Scott, you didn't send me anything, so no, I haven't got anything either, Scott.
Should we entertain Clay Matthews? That's an interesting question.
If we have the money left, I mean,
we ain't got no money for nobody. We couldn't sign Hobo Joe right now at this point.
Yeah. entertain Clay Matthews. I don't know. I mean, he's coming off of a down season with Los Angeles. Los Angeles didn't even want him. They let him go. So I don't know. I think signing older defensive guys, I'd say no. I mean, this team is still in that median age where they're still young, but they've got the older guys in the front seven. I'd say no. I'd pass on Clay Matthews.
All right. Last question before we wrap up, L. Bushman, while I have you here, and maybe you guys can weigh in on this. We got a few minutes. Let me weigh in on this. Who is the defensive player outside of your big – so obviously outside of your big name, you know, like Levante and Ndamukong Suh, you know, Vita Vea. I'm not including Vita Vea in this either because I think he's going to have a big year. But who is your player defensively that is going to have a huge year for the team?
Of course, Shaq, man. Shaq Barrett all day.
Oh, no. He doesn't count. He doesn't count? Okay. No, we're not talking like well-known people. I'm talking maybe like a rookie or maybe somebody that is.
Then I'm going to say Antoine Winfield Jr. I think he's going to be that breakout rookie for our defense. I loved that draft pick. I think that knocked it out of the park, especially for our secondary. So I think Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to be a breakout star for us.
Devin White doesn't count. You know why? Because I already said Devin White is going to have a breakout year. No, actually, I will tell you this.
Looks like Byron agrees with me, too. He said Antoine Winfield
Jr. That's right. Yep. That's a good man. Carlton Davis, that's a good pick. I like that. Here's my two. I actually have a tie, so I'm going to – because I asked the question, I can cheat. First off, Sean Murphy Bunting is going to have a great year. Don't sleep on that guy. I'm telling you, the dude's a playmaker, and he is going to have a great year. And then Jamal Dean is going to have a great year too. And a lot of statistics back me up on Dean. So I think he's going to have a fantastic year too. I think we'll see a lot of good interceptions from him.
I like those.
Ryan Smith. Yeah, I see Ryan Smith. Love that pick. He's been around the game since he was three. There you go. Scott says Vita Vea is going to be a top five defensive tackle this year. Whoa, that's a big push right there. That's a big prediction.
I like that.
That's a big prediction. I love that, Scott. Keep that coming, sir. let's see. Joel Animal says Winfield name sounds familiar. Yeah, obviously. Jamal Dean. So I like the Carlton Davis pick too. I think he's another one of those guys that has a lot to prove this year. Had flashes of greatness last year, but wasn't consistent from 1 to 16. So I think there were times where he really stood out, and then there were other times where you're like, dude, what is going on with you? So I think he's another guy that could potentially have a really good season this year.
Yeah, I think the one area on our defense where I think we're going to see a lot of improvement from is our secondary. And, you know, these guys, they're young guys. They're mostly second-year guys that are coming back and everything. But I think now knowing the system and what Todd Bowles especially is going to expect from them, I think they're really going to shine for us, especially with the division we have to play in. I mean, we're going to have to be lining up against, you know, Michael Thomas's of the world, the Robbie Andersons of the world, Julio Jones. So they've got to step it up. I mean, you know, the secondary has really been an issue for the Bucs for a very long time. And I'm looking at you, Vernon Hargraves, who's no longer on the team.
Hey.
I know he's
You'd
a gator.
You'd be nice, friend. You'd be nice. I
know
he's
a gator. But, you know, it's been an issue with the Bucs defense for a long, long time as that secondary. And I think coming in this year, they're really going to surprise a lot of people with the consistency that's going to be back there. So I hope that works out for the secondary for the Bucs.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think there's been a lot of talk about the offense, and obviously because of Brady and Gronk and Evans and Godwin, and Evans is right at that season where if he, you know, hits 1,000 yards, he breaks Randy Moss's record of consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I think there's a lot to say about that.
And guess what quarterback could help him out do that is Sir Thomas Brady. So
Sir Thomas Brady, we believe in you. Let's see. When Justin Evans was healthy, he was pretty decent. I agree with that.
I agree.
Scott, will Matt Gay make field goals in the South End Zone?
You know what, James? That was kind of funny because I, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? Who could be a breakout star for the Bucks? It would be our kicker, Matt Gay.
So do you think? Funny. What's the over under on him missing this year? What do you think?
PAT,
I hate that we even have to
point
talk
after
about
point
this.
Afters or field goals or all together.
Well, we'll say all together. What's the all together over under?
I'm going to say under 10, hopefully.
Ooh,
under 10.
I'd buy into that. I don't know. I'd say, you know what though? I think he'll actually miss less than 10. I'll take the under on that. Okay. It won't be much, you know, under 10. I think if you're looking maybe 7 to 8, I think you're probably around there, but gosh, I wish we didn't have to have that conversation. You know, like why do you miss any? You have one, as
job
Scott said, you have one job. Just kick the ball through there. That's it. That's all you got to do. But, I mean, it is a pressure
position, you know what? James, it goes back to the whole Matt Bryant, letting him go. That's the curse that the Bucks have had to deal with for a very, very long time. So I hope Matt Gay is the one that takes that curse and pushes it aside. And I don't know why we're talking about kickers right now.
I don't either. Go for two. I'm with you, Scott. Go for two every time. All right. So as we're winding down here, we definitely want to appreciate and say we appreciate you guys watching and hanging out with us. We hung on for a little bit longer tonight, but that's okay. No big deal. It's fun to talk Bucks with you guys. We love this stuff, man. This is a lot of fun. But El Bushman, thank you for being a guest host. You've been a great guest host.
No, I'm thanks sure for having me on, man.
I'm
it's always
sure
a
you'll
pleasure.
Be on our show again. It's not going to be the last time, obviously. but tell everybody, let's shameless plug for yourself for a moment. Where can we find you? What are you doing? What's up with El Bushman?
Sure. Make sure you guys go on Facebook and look up Sports Caffeine. We're on there. Also on Twitter at Sports Caffeine 1. You can find me on Twitter at El Bushman 07. And then make sure to stream us live on fanstreamsports.com and also Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, iHeartRadio as well. So yeah, we want some support from you guys. We love Bucks Life Media, man. So yeah, thanks for having me on the show, dude. It was always fun to come on with you guys, man.
We're missing a bunch of people tonight. We're missing both of our co-hosts are gone.
No.
Dean is not. Dean Jensen's not here. He's usually somewhere. And then, of course, flipping our well, I don't want to call him our resident troll, but he's kind of our resident troll at the same time. He's not here with us either. So, but anyway, but hey, listen, guys, thank you again for watching tonight. We really appreciate it. We know that there's a lot of madness and chaos in this world right now, and we hope that at least for the last hour and a half, you were able to enjoy the show, able to watch it, and feel some kind of happiness and things like that. Bottom line is this, folks, just treat each other good. Just love each other. Don't be stupid. Just love each other. Treat each other well. And you know, just go from there. I don't really know what else to say on that.
And stay safe for everybody out there too, man. It's a lot of crazy enough stuff going on too as well. So just stay safe. Try not to get in those situations. I know there's a lot of rioting and protesting going on. If you're into doing the whole protesting, great. Make it safe. Don't vandalize people's businesses and their livelihood, but just stay safe out there.
That's right. Well, thank you, Ian Glendon, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Animal, for joining us tonight. We're excited. Stay tuned. We have a lot of great stuff coming up this month. Of course, Animal, Big Nasty will be joining us in a couple weeks. JP Peterson will be joining us toward the end of the month. And we'll have some other guests kind of sprinkled in as well. Join us next week. Same time, same channel. We'll have our hosts back with us. And we appreciate you guys. We love y'all. Thank you. And as we always do, El Bushman, let's go.
I don't know what you guys are at the end of the show.
Bucks.
Oh, let's go, Bucks. I would say,
oh my God.
Let's go, me. I don't know. Fire the cannon. Let's go.
Let's go, Bucks. Have a great rest of your
Fire them cannons.
Yeah. Fire the cannons. Have a good rest of your week, guys. Take it easy. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Let's go.